So I don't know who's going to access this or who's going to pay attention to it, but I had some requests from some people that are graduates who are out there trying to test for police departments. And I know that we're in this time of a lot of discussion about police departments, about defunding and all of that. Those are the students in my classes this summer. We've discussed that aspect or those concerns. But the bottom line is that I'm here to serve you and prepare you to be ready to get a job at some point. That's what we do. And obviously, all the other issues we do not condone and we would not support anything like that. But, you know, from this perspective, my job is to prepare you just as it would be to prepare you to know, you know, the procedural law, and that some of the things that you've witnessed or we've all witnessed in the last, well, much longer than the last 6 weeks, completely inappropriate and should never have happened. We still want good people, and we still need police, and we want good people and prepared people to take these jobs. In particular, one of the things that would have been covered this summer if we had the ability to have interns would be some discussion about the physical agility test, about the power test that's used in Illinois, and about preparing for physical agility. And we didn't get that opportunity. What I typically do is offer some advice on workouts. I offer some encouragement on workouts, and sometimes that's individual, and sometimes that is by group. But we do that because increasingly people struggle with the physical agility test. And in most testing processes, if you don't pass the physical agility test, you don't move on in the process. And obviously, careers in law enforcement require you to be physically fit. And so I'm going to cover that just a little bit in encouragement that, you know, if you've not been able to or tried these things, which we would actually normally be presenting today, it's something that you probably should pay attention to. So in Illinois, as a male 20 to 29, you need to be able to do a sit and reach of 16 inches. That's essentially an inch past your feet as a male. Females, 18.8 inches. You have to be able to do 37 sit-ups in a minute as a male, 31 as a female. Males in that age range, you need to be able to bench press your weight, 98% of your weight, one time. So essentially your weight. Females, 58%. You have to run a mile and a half in 13 minutes and 46 seconds if you are a male, and 16 minutes and 21 seconds if you are a female. So here's how I usually break this down. Increasingly, flexibility seems to be an issue, and the sit and reach is just something that you got to work on your flexibility. And there's all sorts of ways to do that. You know, you're the YouTube generation. Get on YouTube, look at some yoga, look at some stretching exercises. And in fact, you can find videos on suggestions for the power test, but do that. You have to be flexible. And a lot of our society today, we're sitting a lot, we're looking at screens, and that flexibility becomes an issue. So that's what you have to be able to do, and you can do it, but flexibility is something that you have to work on. All of us have to work on it. It's something that, you know, as a 55-year-old man, I work on almost every day. I adopted and started doing a yoga practice a few years back because I was becoming less flexible, and it definitely helped with a lot of issues in flexibility. Guys, if you're thinking that You know, well, that's not for guys. Well, yeah, it is. And you can find lots of yoga for men kind of things. So look at that. But definitely get flexible. And that's a matter of practice. You have to practice. You have to work on your flexibility. The more you sit or stay stationary, the tighter you're going to be. The bottom line there, probably long term, is you always want to stay somewhat flexible to avoid injury. The next thing would be the sit-ups. Again, this is one that seems to be getting people on the test. It's simply a matter that you haven't done sit-ups. And 37 sit-ups in a minute is achievable. 31 sit-ups for females is achievable. But it's something you have to work up to. So how do you work up to it? You do them. You know, every day. You do as many sit-ups in the proper form as you can. The proper form would be your feet firmly planted on the ground, knees bent. Your shoulder blades need to touch the ground. On the training board's information, they still have people doing sit-ups with their hands behind their necks, kind of that creates a, sometimes people pull. That is not the recommended way. I would suggest if you want to see a good sort of both for flexibility and sit-ups, Jeff Cavalier, Athlene X, he has a really good tutorial. I think it's 6 different things to kind of build up your abdominals and your core to work up to being able to do more sit-ups. But eventually, you know, and especially in that 20 to 29 year old age range, you ought to be able to plant your feet on the floor and be able to bring yourself up, bring your chest to your knees and go all the way back down to the floor and come all the way back up with your hands out in front of you. You should be able to work up to that strength, and that would be the goal. Now, are you going to get it initially? No. Is it going to give you some soreness or maybe hurt a little bit until you get comfortable and you start to develop some core muscles? Yes. Can you do it? Absolutely. The next item is the bench press. Now, if you played football or played some sports where they required you to, in your conditioning or your strength training, to use a bench press, then you're okay. There's surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, but just a lot of people, and especially females, have never bench pressed. This is the one, along with the run, that I find to be the most frustrating in the sense that it's psychological. It is truly psychological. You know, you're pushing for a male your weight one time, and most everybody can do that. Now, there may be exceptions, but most everybody can do that. You don't need to go out and buy weights or join a gym, and right now it's a little difficult to get to a gym. And so what can you do? Push-ups. Proper form push-ups. Now, you may not be able to do more than a few push-ups initially, but you want to work up to it. Again, I'm going to go back to Jeff Cavalier and Athlete Next, but he has some great push-up tutorials. You want to have proper form. You want to do the things that he suggests. The idea is to work up to where you can do, you know, hopefully for males, get up to, if you can get up to 20 to 30 push-ups within a minute, well, then you're going to be able to bench press your weight. You know, you're going to be able to do that one time. And again, it's pushing it one time. The situation or whatever the particular department has available as far as the bench press, it may be a machine, it may be, you know, free weights, it depends. But again, you're pushing your weight one time, and for females, just a little under 60% of your weight. We do this when we normally, in the internship, we have you complete this entire test. And Professor Graf will tell you that I'm not lying. Nearly everybody, since we started providing the test as part of the internship, hits the bench press. The bench press is doable. They just have, even the people have never done it, they just never done it, and we spot them and they get it. And it's pushing your weight one time. I always use the analogy that if you're, you know, your sibling, your brother or sister, you know, you're fighting over something in your room or whatever, and they end up on top of you on the floor beating the crap out of you. I'm sure that's never happened. You would push them off. That's essentially what you're doing, right? It's doable. But again, the easiest thing and the thing that I always recommend, and especially now in the Rona, where we can't get to gyms, or a lot of us can't, push-ups. So work it out so you're doing as many as you can do in the morning, as many as you can do before you go to bed. And then just keep increasing and push yourself. Now the last thing on this test is the mile and a half run. I don't know many police officers who have ever run after somebody for a mile and a half. And I, you know, it's always been a mystery of why we have people run a mile and a half. But we do. And I'm just going to say this. The times are doable. But again, a lot of people come to take this test without a lot of experience in running that distance. You'd be a fool not to be able to work yourself up to being able to run that distance or more, and to make sure that you can get it within the time. Now, the run may come at different times in all these things in the test. So there's four different things you have to do. If there's 100 people that show up for this test, you know, you can figure that a quarter of them are going to be sent to the sit and reach station, a quarter are going to be sent to the sit-up station, a quarter are going to be sent to the bench press station, and a quarter to the mile and a half run. You may not get to the mile and a half run until you've done the other three. Or it may be that the first thing you do is a mile and a half run, and then you have to go right to the sit-ups. The point is, just walking in cold, having never done this and not knowing that you're in shape to complete all these things in whatever order they're presented, would be foolish. Now, on the mile and a half run, those of you who have had classes at the Peoria campus, what I always say about the mile and a half run, so the males, you have to complete it in 13:46, male or female. The AutoZone store that's at the corner of Forest Hill and University is approximately a mile and a half from campus. And I always use this analogy. If I put $100, a $100 bill, in an envelope, and I left it with the clerk at the AutoZone, and told that clerk that the first of you, the first of my students, who were able to get there without running, speed walking, probably every one of you would get there in under 13:46. Again, part of it is this will. You know, if you tell me I got to run 13 mile and a half in 13:46, or I'm not going to be able to continue in my job or get a job, I'm going to do it. And I'm old. Part of it, though, is you have to prepare. You can't just go out there and think you're going to do it. So if you've not run a mile and a half, the suggestions are always that you go out and you find a place where you can run. Make sure it's safe. You're not running in a roadway. You're not running with traffic in the roadway. Go out and find, you know, a track at the local high school would be the best thing. So a mile and a half on the track at the local high school would be 6 laps around the track. See how many you can make before you absolutely can't do it anymore. Time how you do. If you're completely out of shape and know you're not going to be able to do it, well, start walking and running. Walk, run as much as you can, measure out that distance, and then keep going until you improve. Build up. Again, these are not things that you want to go out and try to do the first time at the test. And you want to make sure that you're able to do these things as best you can, and that you prepare to do these things. And here's a little secret. You not only have to take these four things or pass these four things to get into the application process or continue in it, but once you're hired, you're going to have to take this test again the first day at the academy. And we've had people that have been sent back because in the interim, the time from the time they began the testing and they passed the test until they actually get to the academy, they just didn't continue to stay in shape. This leads to my final point. This is a career that you have to be a lifelong learner in. You have to continue to know what the law is, what the procedures are, what's expected of you. You need to train on those things. You need to stay mentally aware. But you also need to stay physically in shape. You know, it's a job that you should keep your physical fitness as a priority the best you can. You should watch what you eat, should make sure you get your sleep, and to the best of your ability, you should do things that help keep you in shape. That doesn't mean if you can't get to the gym because you don't have time that you don't do anything. That may mean that you're doing those push-ups before you go to bed. You're knocking out some sit-ups before you go to bed. You're doing some stretching when you get up in the morning. And then when you can, you're getting in that run. But it's something that you need to think about doing lifelong. If you want the power test score sheet that Professor Graf and I typically use for internships, to use as kind of your guide, and you can use that to, you know, make as many copies as you want and sort of track your status, let me know. But I know that some tests are opening up, and I know people are talking about it. I also know that there's some people, or some of our graduates, who were paused or knocked out of the academy with the Rona. And those academies are going to start up, so they're going to have to go back to finish the academy. And guess what? When they go to finish the academy, they got to take the test. Hopefully they're staying in shape. It's not difficult. It's attainable. But like anything else, it requires work. And it requires that you consciously prepare for and you consciously put in the time and effort to be able to do those things. If you found this useful, great. If you ever need any advice or encouragement, get a hold of me. We used to call it Fat Camp, but some departments require people continue to take this test, and on the sheet, if you ask for it, there's a graduated sort of expectation. So for instance, you know, somebody in my age, the sit and reach, it's not 16 inches, it's 12.8. I would only have to do 23 sit-ups and then bench press 70% of my weight and run the run in 16 minutes and 21 seconds. So it goes up by age groups. But there are expectations from some departments that you take this test or you periodically prove that you are physically fit. And if you're expected to take one of those tests, sometimes as you get older, you have kids and you eat some chicken nuggets or whatever, you get out of shape. So occasionally I do what some of our former grads once referred to as Fat Camp, and I would meet with some of our grads to kind of coach them towards the very things I just discussed. So again, it's a lifelong expectation. It's something that you have to refresh and you have to be committed to. Most of us try to be committed to it and sometimes we fall off the wagon, but you can get back on the wagon and you can get back in it. So if you need that kind of advice at some time in the future, hit me up. That's what I'm here for. Be safe. Wear that mask. Wash your hands. And keep me posted on if you are applying for jobs. We just posted one for Burlington, Iowa. The test is coming up. We have some grads over there. Great department. So I know a lot of Illinois departments are kind of holding out. But don't be afraid to look around. You can always come back home if you want to get back home. But there are opportunities out there.